already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are going to talk about March 25th through April 1st. Around GH, we have Laura visiting Curtis during his rehab to talk about the theory that Sonny hired Jason to shoot Curtis. She picked up that this theory was thrown out by someone else and not thought up by Curtis himself. Unfortunately, Trina already heard this theory and lets Joss know over at Bobby's. First, it bothered me that she's calling Curtis her father when we haven't heard about Taggart in a while, but I sidelined those feelings for the story. Then I got frustrated that Trina was part of the Jason Shot Dante Club. I was hoping we would see Curtis and Trina together after Laura had already talked to him and maybe discussed it further. Hopefully this week we see them talking about it now that the charges have been dropped. On the flip side, Sonny does not care that charges were dropped and he's blaming everyone and anyone for Dante getting shot. And then of course we saw Nina walking into the arraignment thinking she was what, representing Sonny? Like, I laughed so hard when she did that. Meanwhile, Sonny still has Ava living with him. Nina thinks Ava is advocating for a Sona reunion, but as we saw at the end of last week, there may be a Sava or Sava reunion instead. I would love for Nina to walk in on Sonny and Ava, but also, part of this is orchestrated, so will Nina end up forgiving him anyway? I have a theory that I'll get into in a minute, but first I need to get off my chest. As many things as Ava has done wrong, I love her, and I think a small Sava reunion could work, at least until this orchestrated part of Sonny's mistrust in everyone is resolved. But Sonny, think about the kids. You've been with Carly, then Nina, now Ava. This is so confusing for young girls. From that standpoint, I think all parents should remain single for at least another year, but that's not soapy. On the Quartermain side of things, Brooklyn and Chase are visiting Dante when Finn and Gregory show up, and Gregory has the realization that his symptoms are changing over time. This is absolutely heartbreaking, so Brooklyn and Chase are talking about moving up the wedding. I'm neutral about the marriage, but excited for the wedding event itself. I intended on seeing Brooklyn in Lila's dress, but it looks like that may not happen the way she's talking. But I'm also curious about the guest list and intrigued by any possible drama. We haven't seen Ned in a minute, and now Drew and Carly are broken up, so either these two will butt heads as solo appearances, or Drew is going to bring a guest nobody likes. There's still speculation about a Drew and Nina entanglement, but I just can't see that happening. Drew is still so angry at so much. I need him brought back to his center. And I'm still all for Drew and Jason in the boxing ring. All right, so Jason, we get the whole story and then some. So he's processing some changes in Port Charles, but staying focused on telling Anna everything from when he was picked up in Greece to right then in the interrogation room. And once Anna brought up Agent Cates, aka Jagger, knew Jason in high school, the anger on Jason's face, loved it. So turns out Jason was forced to work for the FBI to infiltrate Pikemen. Pikemen is a group. It's a nice twist, but then we see who Pikeman is. So we get a name change for Brennan, whatever, but Jack stays locked up as Valentine is running Pikeman. So to bring in my theory from earlier, I think Valentine is trying to get Nina back. I think he's orchestrating Sonny to have this breakdown, have all of that fall into place, have a business to fall back on to try and get Nina back. He's already backing Nina at every turn, but as he said, he's going to let Sonny destroy himself. For Valentine to turn this bad, though, I mean, it's about time. Bring that Cassadine name back. Heck, is Charlotte old enough to help out yet? Let's not forget Valentine's mother is Helena, the biggest, baddest GH villain. And now her son is becoming the next big bad. So after Jason tells Anna everything, we go through the whole arraignment process and everyone's opinions on Jason, if he's guilty or not, which I found so interesting. He has been gone for much longer, and when he returned, nobody questioned his loyalty. So why is this time different? We also see this questioning go on between Jake and Danny, and those boys did such a great job. And poor Aiden getting stuck in the middle. He just wants peace in his family. So during the arraignment, Drew tells Olivia that him and Carly broke up. Thought that was an interesting time and place to let that news out. Christina tells Jocelyn that Jason is for sure guilty, and Jocelyn sticks up for Jason. But once again, if you're going to be okay with whatever Jason does, then you shouldn't have a different opinion on Dex. But whatever, I'm not invested in that couple. So anyway, bail is set at $5 million. Michael pays it. And then Jason gets a chance to explain things to Carly. Carly went to go see Sonny to ask him why he wasn't at the arraignment. And her and Sonny really get into it. Carly's also thrown off by Ava's presence there. And Sonny's sitting there screaming he doesn't believe Jason. And then Jason walks in behind Carly. Sonny even went as far as to say, Michael is just Carly's son. And Carly's face when he said that, I could feel it through the screen. And that was some nerve. But when Jason was in there, I found it to be very interesting, the look on his face when Sonny was going off about how Carly can't be trusted, Jason can't be trusted, Michael can't be trusted. For a split second, Jason had this look on his face like he knew something was wrong, but he kind of knew what it was. And that's when he grabbed Carly's arm and said, we have to go, we have to go. Jason has seen Sonny through, what, 5 breakdowns about now? I think he knows the signs. And I think once Jason and Carly have a calm moment to talk about it, they're gonna realize it. And by the end of the week, Dante wakes up and assures everyone that Jason did not shoot him. And in Sam's rejoice of Dante waking up, she hugs Danny, saying that he will never have to see Jason again. And the look on Danny's face, he was like, excuse me, that's not what I want. What? Why would you say that? So the show is really playing up that Danny is going to be more of the troublemaker and Jake is going to be really against his father. It will make for some interesting stories. It was bound to happen. Jason has not been a present father, so this is what happens sometimes. And then we get into Monday. So Jason goes over to Elizabeth's, barely recognizes Aiden, just goes right back into his role as a father. He's not really a role in anyone's life at this point, just Carly's. But anyway, Jason tries to talk to Jake about believing him and that he can trust him. He would be home if he could. But Jake isn't having it. He wants answers or nothing. He's so angry that Jason's been in and out of his life, and for good reason. So Jason ends up just leaving, and then Liz tries to talk to Jake, but then Jake thinks Liz is being too nice. But those are kind of the nuances that teenagers don't quite understand. You can be cordial with somebody and not agree with anything they're doing at all. But Jake had a good line saying that Jason only shows up to commit crimes and get arrested. It does seem like that's what Jason shows up for. After receiving news that Dante woke up, Sonny goes to GH to see him, and Dante confirms Jason didn't shoot him, but did indeed save his life. But Sonny is still convinced that Jason working for the feds means he's working against him. Sonny tells Dante he saw Jason. Jason told him that he's an informant now, and no explanation is worth it if Jason's an informant. No explanation will do. Jason later visits Dante at GH, and they discuss what happened on the pier. He says he thought it would be safer if he stopped and turned around, but he was wrong. Dante asks about the other gunmen. Jason tells him he's dead. He's got his own theories about where the body went, but none of that's important right now. So Dante is just looking for the straight facts. And afterwards, he tells Jason exactly how Sonny feels. And Jason does tell Dante that he was not informing on Sonny, but he can't say who or what his missions were or are. And this is when Dante realizes the feds must have something on him. I mean, you can just tell. By the end of this, I think anyone who thought Jason was guilty is going to feel really bad for him, whatever this leverage is. Honestly, Jason should be informed about Dex now that Anna wants him to be part of the police academy. Even the guy directing it says, "Are you serious?" And Anna thinks that Dex can give them inside information about Sonny. Like, I don't think that's going to work, Anna. I just really don't think so. And seeing as Anna does not have a great track record, it's not going to work out. But she does get to see Sonny, and boy, was she upset. I mean, the tears welling up in her eyes. She wonders where Sonny gets the audacity to walk in there and ask her any questions after beating Cyrus while he was unarmed. And I get it. Cyrus is older. I'm guessing late 60s, maybe early 70s. But Sonny is not young. His hair is gray. And it may not have been the fairest fight, but Cyrus is not helpless and took that beating on purpose. And now this has me thinking, is Cyrus in on Valentine's Pikeman deal? Because that would be wild. And from crime to litigation, Alexis is bickering with this Adrian gossip columner, and Diane shows up to Alexis's office. So we find out that Dr. Neil Byrne had another brother, and he was involved in Alexis's disbarment case. I'm guessing they're just throwing that in there to make Alexis a lawyer again. We kind of wrote her in a corner with her getting disbarred. So if this is the quickest and easiest way to get her back there, then that's fine. Alexis does talk to Diane about her sobriety and that Molly met with her and is afraid that Alexis might go back to alcohol if she does become a lawyer again. Diane ensures her that if she keeps doing the work and is committed to her sobriety, she'll be fine, and Alexis accepted that. And at first, Alexis was on the fence about getting her law license back, but as soon as Adrian busts in her office and they fight again and she yells at him, she looks at Diane and says, "Please get me out of this place." Over at Deception, we see Blaze almost signing a contract, but her mother walks in and is not okay with it. Blaze then decides that she is a singer and not a spokesperson, but Lucy likes the idea of hiring more than one face of Deception. I like that idea too. Just putting that out there. So they come to an agreement and they get the contract signed. Blaze seems super excited. I'm excited to see her join this team. But then her mother makes a comment about keeping her personal life private. I think the audience gets it's because Blaze is gay and her mom wants to keep that private. But then the look on Blaze's face, she likes the idea too. But I'm assuming it's just because she wants her life private, not because she's gay, just because she wants her life private. I also want to make note that Maxie's outfits lately are on point. I am loving them. She is looking great lately. But let's see where we're off to next. Is Blaze going to be overwhelmed with Deception press? And does this mean Sasha's going to come back to do all of the Home and Heart stuff while Blaze does the print campaigns or the print ads, whatever they are? I would hate to see Sasha just sort of disappear, so we can still keep her involved. Well, until next time, I will be down at 66 Harborview Road. You can find me on Instagram at 66 Harborview Road, X at 66_view, and TikTok at 66_Harborview Road. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week.